Are you listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, or online at KFAI.org? Well, so am I.
Yeah, me too.
Shouldn't everybody?
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Tool Man.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, didn't cut it.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Well, we are always excited to have our friend, State Senator Mary Kunish from the great state of Minnesota on and talk about her week and what's been going on. And I know there's an anniversary coming up, and it's just really great to have you on. Thank you so much, State Senator.
Hamatakiape, everybody. When we talk about an anniversary, it's not a joyous anniversary or something that we want to celebrate in any way, shape, or form, but this weekend is the 1 year anniversary of the murder and assassination of our state legislative leader, Melissa Hortman, and her husband, Mark, and their dog, mm-hmm. and then the attempted assassination of Senator Hoffman and his wife, Yvette, and their daughter. It's still hard to believe that Melissa Hortman is gone. She was really and truly an incredible leader. And oftentimes we don't appreciate people until they're gone and they're not leading in the way that we were so used to. But I think almost everybody appreciated Melissa Hortman in real time. She was just a regular person who really had the heart of Minnesotans in mind. She was not politically advantageous. She wasn't looking to, you know, run for higher office or, you know, to, of course, most elected officials do not make money when they're as an elected official. So, she wasn't looking for the glory. I mean, she oftentimes, And rightfully so, deflected the praise and appreciation to others who had done the hard work. And she was lucky enough to be the leader to say, go ahead, you know, take this and run with it. And she was just an all around really, really good person. And if people out there don't know what we're talking about, a year ago on the 14th, man impersonating a police officer had a hit list, and he was bent on assassinating everybody on that hit list, and they all happened to be elected officials, elected Democrats. And I can tell you my name was on that list, so it's kind of pretty freaky for me too. But I'll just never forget a year ago getting a phone call at about 3:30 in the morning that there had been this assassination attempt in both households. And we actually thought all of the people that were involved, all those legislators and their families, had been murdered. But John Hoffman and his wife, both of them having taken, 8 to 9 bullets each, yeah, in their bodies, yes, have survived and continue to do the good work. Yeah, it's the anniversary of that shooting. Vance Bolter is the one who is accused of killing the Hortmans and shooting the Hoffmans. I think it was this morning. Vance Bolter pled guilty to his crimes. Mm. I think that was in part of his plea bargain that he would not have to be sentenced to death. You know, we don't have the death penalty here in Minnesota the way it is in some of the other states. But apparently for all of his infractions, he will be in prison for the rest of his life for sure. It was, I don't know if you saw it, but there was an interactive timeline that the Minneapolis Star Tribune put out. I don't know, were you able to see that, Robert? If not, yeah. And it was fascinating. I mean, they had it kind of minute by minute, step by step, how they eventually did it take a day or 2 days to find him.
Yeah. Out in the field, right?
Yeah. His family owned some land in southern Minnesota, and they found him crawling through the field to get to his house, where when they had gotten to his house, they found quite a bit of ammunition and guns and other things that he was probably after. But I'm always curious how he moved around the Twin Cities, because he had to get from where the Hortman's home was and Hoffman's home was, well, Hortman's home in Brooklyn Park, into North Minneapolis. Yeah. And I don't know if he took buses or Ubers or whatever, but you know, this is a guy that showed up at their house and had actually tried two or three other legislators' homes, but they weren't home or didn't answer the call. Mm-hmm. But he was dressed as a police officer. You would have thought he had on police uniform. He had on the bulletproof vest. He had a SUV with just like cardboard license plates on him. Yeah. That were police ones, and had the lights going. So when John Hoffman opened the door, that's what he saw, somebody that looks like a legit police officer and a police car in his driveway, which is why he opened the door.
Right.
But he very quickly realized that was not a police officer. And that, that's when Bolter started shooting through the door.
His daughter, didn't his daughter really save them by, I think, closing? She was the one closing the door. Or I don't remember, but she had a lot to do with saving both parents. Maybe it was getting them help right away. I don't quite remember. One of the things, I'm really glad you brought this up too, because I was going to ask you about this. How much trauma do you have through this? I mean, this, especially being convicted or pleading guilty today, and bringing back, geez, you know, I wasn't home, but I could have been home.
Yeah. You know, for me, it was a really tough summer last summer. I'm still a little surprised just how deeply it really did affect me. Mm-hmm. When I had that night that happened, I had my granddaughter over here. And as I said, my name was on that hit list and my address was on that hit list. And I was told at one point that if your name and address was on it, that was his route that night.
Wow.
So I just think, you know, for my family, and you know, I have family that are political, you know, they speak up on issues. It made me very, very nervous for them as well. So to lose Melissa Hortman and her family, and what happened to John, and the Annunciation shooting.
Yes.
Last year was very difficult emotionally. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. And how I guess too, part of my question was I just put you on mute for a second. Go ahead and one of my questions would be is, like, we talk a lot about this a lot on Native Roots Radio, is how are you getting through that? Talking with family, anything professional? Did the legislature have you have any availability for you for your healing?
Yep. I have to say that my caucus really stepped up. They provided mental health services for us. They installed security systems in our homes for us so that we're able to monitor and patrol our homes, either from the inside or where we are outside. But family and friends, really important.
Let's talk more about this. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're with our friend, State Senator Mary Kunish from the great state of Minnesota. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wa.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us thousands of years ago and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today.
To the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way.
To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
To those who left their communities by force or by choice and for generations no longer know who they are.
To those who search and never find. To those that turn away the so-called non-accepted. To those that bring us together and to those living outside keeping touch, the voice for many.
To those that make it back to.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and this is Native Roots Radio, and we are with our friend, State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're talking a little bit about how, you know, we'd like to talk about this too, on how. Mental health and how you take care of your soul, and especially with a stressful job like being a state senator. And one thing I want to just mention this before we get into the state senator. We had that Jane Fonda bumper, got a chance to meet her during the protests of Line 3. And I saw her on The Daily Show, and I'm just going, oh my God, she's so sharp. And I'm just like, went on my phone and looked at it, and she's like 88 years old, still doing it.
I hope when I'm 88, I am that sharp, let me tell you. And I look that good.
Yeah. Well, I hope I've been gone a few years and people remember me by 88, because that's but unbelievable. And I guess, you know, being in the fight, getting up and being prepared to meet the day, which she's been doing for so many years and advocating for so many great causes like you. And I guess, again, what, how are you protecting your soul through all this? I just can't imagine. I know we talk about news here on Native Roots Radio, but I have outlets.
Well, I have to say my family is really, you know, my anchor, my children and my grandchildren. They bring me so much joy. I was thinking, yeah, what did I do last summer? Well, we had the twins born. And that was really, I think, what got me through the summer and into the fall, because there's nothing that melts a heart or calms your heart, your body, your system than holding a baby. Mm. And, you know, two new twins, there was a lot of baby holding done, you know, into the nights and, you know, in the mornings. And so I spent a lot of time with my daughter and her family, taking care of those two little guys. And then, my granddaughters too, that are just, the silliest little girls and bring me so much joy. I think that's really what helped a lot. I can tell you that I probably went to more powwows last summer than I have gone to in a long, long time. Well, ever in my life, probably. Even if I could get to one for an hour or two and just be in the community, and what really affects me is the drumming. I mean, I get that drum beat in my blood pumping, in my own heartbeat, and it's just, bumping through my soul. And it oftentimes just to walk around or sit there and absorb all of that really, really, really made a difference. I'm a real outdoor person. So anytime I can be near water, in the woods, I find that those are all really good ways for me to kind of recenter myself and get back in. And then, commiserating with other people who are processing this as well. I was at a women winning luncheon. It's a luncheon for pro-choice women candidates and elected officials. That room was packed. Oh my gosh, it was packed with people, supporters and elected officials, women, and candidates, women. And I was sitting at the table with another state legislator from the House, and they did a memorial, moments. Silence for Melissa Hortman. And we both just looked at each other and our eyes were just, filled with tears and, virtually hugging each other across the table. Uh-huh. And she said, "I'm going to send you this poem that somebody sent me that has gotten me through this." And I said, "Jenny, it still hurts to this day." And she's like, "I know." And so she sent me this lovely, lovely poem, which I have now read, maybe half a dozen times. And I read it a little differently every single time, which is kind of cool. But it's that, understanding what has happened and recognizing the loss, but then also realizing that there's a legacy left by Melissa Hortman, and especially for women running for office, that we still have a lot of work to do. And so that is sort of one of our missions this election season, is to get more women elected across the board, from school board to governor to, whatever it might be, good candidates.
Yeah, that's going to be our focus here too, for sure. And it's really good. Maybe someday you can share that poem with us, because that would really be awesome to hear and reflect, especially with these times. And again, you were saying too, it's good to be around celebrations. I know when things started unraveling in a good way, and seeing people in community when COVID was ending, and all of a sudden we see all these people that we haven't seen in a long time, and how healing that has been and is. The drum, I can really relate to that. I see my daughter really get emotional whenever she hears the drum too. So it's in our blood and in our DNA, the heartbeat of Mother Earth.
Yeah, it is true. And it's amazing when you come across somebody, perhaps you haven't seen them for a while or whatever, and you just look at them and you both know exactly what the other is thinking, or just like a silent hug that you don't have to say anything. The emotions are definitely being passed. And so, it's tough. We had, after that assassination, and then the children that were shot at Annunciation, and then the ICE surge. Yeah. It's been just a really, and I won't use a naughty word, Robert, but it's really a ugly, ugly, crummy, crummy year. And so I'm just hoping that this summer goes by without any big issues, and that we can get to an election where everybody is free to vote without any interference and vote for good candidates so that we can go ahead and continue to do the good work of Minnesota.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, I told you earlier when we were talking before the show that I ran into Steve Simon at a St. Paul Indians in Action meeting, and he did a great presentation. And so they're thinking about things, and they're also reminding us that there's three or four different ways to vote. You don't have to go if you feel like you're going to be intimidated the day of election. And those will be things that we'll be talking about.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Minnesota has been doing such a great job about getting out the vote and really paying attention to the barriers that our Indigenous communities have faced over the years. And I've told this story many times about maybe 6 years ago, working with Get Out the Vote in Indian Country and talking to elders who didn't even know they could vote in general elections. They thought they could only vote on tribal reservation elections. And so they voted for the first time in their life. Some of these people were in their 70s and 80s and finally able to do, you know, what they have had the right to do forever, but nobody educated them well enough, nor did they feel comfortable doing it because of intimidation. So Minnesota had last election cycle, we had mobile voting vans that would go into areas that were really hard to get to for them to those residents to get out and vote in person. Not everybody understands about mail-in voting. We have that as well. We have early voting. So the next time you're not yet, but when it's time, you know, the next time you're in town, you can just go vote while you're in town, and then you don't have to make that extra trip. So we want to make voting as accessible and as less complicated as possible, not because we want to win, you know, and I'm thinking like my caucus, the Democrat caucus, but because it's our right. Yeah. And, you know, those are the people that are making the decisions for us.
You know, we only got a minute left here, but I want to remind you, two cycles ago, we had over 9,000 new Native Americans registered to vote with the organizations that you talk about, Make Voting a Tradition up north. And it really, really made a difference on two things. The whole statewide election for Walls and Flanagan, but also it engaged politicians up there and knew that the Native communities had power and they really reached out to them.
Mm-hmm. I remember when we redistricted after the census, and I talked to some of the tribes up there because they had them all separated out. And I said, well, you can always ask to be put in the same one, power in numbers.
Yeah, that's right. Amazing. Well, we got less than a minute here, State Senator. What does this week look like for you? I know you're in a part-time job that's more than full-time. I know you work with education and our farmers and things like that. You're all over the state and plus all over the country too with things.
Yeah. Well, tonight I'm going down to the Goodhue area. There's a really great candidate. He's a farmer himself that is stepping up to run for Senate. He's my mentee, so I'll go there. And then keep working on that constitutional amendment for the school trust land.
Yes.
And whatever else shows up at my doorstep.
Yeah, they brought that up at the convention, and I thought of you immediately. So, again, hey, thank you for spending time here on Native Roots Radio, and we'll see you next week.
My pleasure. Dolce, everyone.
Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Support for KFAI comes from the Blue Ox Music Festival, a weekend of Americana artists including Charlie Crockett and the Dead South, June 25th to the 27th in Eau Claire. Full lineup at blueoxmusicfestival.com.
Thank you.
become more brutal.
Couldn't cut any cut game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we got a jam-packed show. As always, we have our friend Gina Peltier coming on just in a moment here. And then Isha Bella Lopez will be on later talking about, giving us an update on her court case. And I don't know, we'll fill everybody in on that. Unbelievable that that she has to go through this, and I just want to put her story out on blast so all our relatives here in the Twin Cities and all over Turtle Island know what she's going through and what ICE did to her and is still doing to her and her family. So before we get going with Gina, I just want to give our relatives out there in New York City a big shout out, especially the ones booing the orange one. It warmed my heart when I was watching the NBA Finals last night, and keep up the good work. Just awesome, very awesome. So let's get to it right away. We haven't had Gina on in a while, and it's really great to see you, Gina. Thanks so much for coming on, and we got a lot of updates to go through, so great to see you. There you go. Oh, Gina, you look like you're muted right now. This is awesome. Try and unmute yourself there. And while you're doing that, again, just talking to about our relatives in New York with that great show. I also want to give a shout out to the Albanians that are protesting against a planned luxury resort backed by a company linked to Jared Kushner, son-in-law of the president. Again, things are still kind of weird here in the United States, to say the least. And we want to make sure that that we still talk about it, and we talk about it all the time. Also, too, I want to give you guys a quick update while we're waiting for Gina to come back on. And one of the things that I've been working on, as probably a lot of you know, is that I've been working on the magazine The Circle. And The Circle has been around since 1980, and I am now managing editor of The Circle magazine, which, again, has been around since 1980. It's a Twin Cities-based magazine or newspaper at the time, and I'm changing it now to a quarterly magazine where it'll be kind of like the New Yorker. It'll be shiny pages with arts and articles, and we're putting that together this week, and it'll be to the printer and should be out at the last week of June. So really excited about that. Really excited about all the positivity that has been my way or towards me, all the positivity of, that we're keeping this great magazine going and things like that. Hey, Gina, thanks for coming back on. I love that shirt. Welcome to Native Roots Radio as always.
Yeah, sorry about that. Can you hear me now?
Yep, hear you good.
Awesome. Yeah, the shirt was gifted to me by yourself, Robert. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. I wear it a lot, actually. I get a lot of comments on it also.
That's great to know. Gina, let's talk about what's going on, and let's get right in it. We got a couple segments, and I really want to get some backstory of what's happening and how people can support your work and really just know what's going on here. So again, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah. So we have right now that's something that I really, really want to talk about. And I'm really hoping that we can get really active participation from our communities. Not that many people know, but right now, Pipestone, a very sacred area to many Indigenous nations and people, is being threatened by a pipeline that Magellan One Oak wants to put within one mile of it. And so Magellan One Oak, there was a pipeline that used to be in commission, and it was recently decommissioned back in, I believe it was 2022, it was decommissioned by the U.S. Department of Interior, and they completely declined the new right-of-way permit. And so now we have Magellan One Oak, who wants to come in, and they say it's absolutely critical that they build this new pipeline, but all it's going to do is just transport diesel and gasoline and jet fuel. And we all know that we don't need those resources. We have other resources we should be utilizing. And, you know, these corporations, these companies just want to do this just to fatten their pockets. And really, quite honestly, like, one, we don't need these pipelines. And two, it doesn't need to be so close to such a sacred area. Pipestone has been around since time immemorial, and tribes from all over Turtle Island would travel to this area. They would lay down their weapons and just come in peace. You know, we had historically warring tribes that were at war with each other who would come to this area, lay down their pipes or lay down their weapons and harvest the Catlinite right side by side. And so this is such a sacred area that is just, it just, it completely baffles my mind that Magellan One Oak would even want to come put a pipeline next to it, you know? And these pipelines, they cause so much damage when they are being instilled, like we saw with Line 3. Even with the frack outs from the construction of the pipeline could damage the Catlinite within the pipestone. And the Catlinite is what we use to make our sacred pipes for our ceremonies. A lot of Indigenous tribes around Turtle Island. And it took millions of years to form. And we only have that certain type of Catlinite that we're able to make pipes in that area. And there's not that much left. And it's so porous that a little spill could destroy what's left. You know, and I really hope that we could get Crow Creek's president more out there, maybe even on the show, to really describe how important the pipestone is to their people. You know, they talk of the story of the white buffalo calf woman and how they taught them how to live and saved them. And when I hear him talk about it, it just, you know, reminds me of my Anishinaabe connection to wild rice. You know, wild rice basically saved us from extinction. And we were told as long as we respect wild rice, we'll thrive. And so hearing Pete Lemke from Crow Creek explain this really instilled it into me that, you know, this isn't just battling another pipeline. This is protecting such a sacred area that it is critical to Indigenous nations that, you know, we protect the Catlinite, not just for Indigenous nations, but for everyone, because this is such a spiritual place. You know, you wouldn't drive a bulldozer through the Vatican, you know, like this is a great big place of worship. And so it's we're really hoping to bring communities together because the public comment period is open. The Public Utilities Commission has opened a public comment period. And so it's open until June 22nd. And we are really encouraging people to submit their comments. And you don't even have to be from Minnesota. You don't have to be Indigenous. You just have to respect the fact that we all have a right to our spirituality, to our religion. And this place is such a sacred area that, like I said, so many tribes from all over came and laid down their weapons and were peaceful in this area.
Well, hey, we are here with our friend Gina Peltier, and it's great catching up with you. And it's always kind of sad for me that we have to catch up during these kind of crises in our community. But I'm also happy to have you be able to let our listening audience know what's going on with us Indigenous people, us Native Americans all over Turtle Island. So it's a double-edged sword to see you, but I'm glad you're on, and we're going to talk more with Gina Peltier. This is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Ho-wa. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and we are with our friend Gina Peltier, and we're talking about some more sacred attack on our sacredness. And I really appreciate you bringing up this. We talked to IEN, too, about this a week ago, and I'm really glad that we're amplifying it again with your organization. And Gina, you want to talk a little bit about your organization? We'll get back into protecting Pipestone.
Yeah, most definitely. And so, yeah, Mark Tilson from IEN was on last week talking about this. And that was a really good show. He's really, really good on the radio. And so, yeah, I'm currently the chair board of Makua Minkana. And just at, like IEN, we are part of the Redstone Movement, which is a movement that was built to protect Pipestone. And there's many different groups and organizations that are associated with it. Shout out to, you know, the Braveheart Society, IEN, Indigenous Protectors Movement, and Indian Collective. And then also within the Redstone Movement, you know, we've had tribal nations who've also been involved and have been working with this for quite a few years now, you know, trying to resist this pipeline. And, you know, it's been really nice to not only work with all these brilliant people, but to like bring all our resources and capacity together, because, you know, the Braveheart Society and Tulane Faith Spotted Eagle, they were really smart by hiring a hydrologist and an ecologist, and also like really demanding that Magellan One Oak works with tribal nations. You know, it's not just about consultation. It's about actually getting consent. And if, you know, these corporations were getting the consent of the tribal nations, we wouldn't be in such a devastating period in our society right now. You know, like the orange man in office, our healthcare is a joke, our education system is just really, really sad. You know, and we have nearly half of full-time working Americans unable to afford a one-bedroom apartment right now. And so it's just like, not only with the pursuing of protections for Pipestone, you know, it's really about demanding not just state and local and federal governments to get consent from the tribes, but even these corporations to work with us. And so what we saw with, you know, the work that Braveheart did is that, as we heard Mark Tilson say, that the PUC actually straight up told Magellan One Oak that they had to work with Minnesota Indian Affairs Council in finding an Indigenous cultural survey person. And they didn't do that. And it was, and then, you know, when Magellan One Oak put out their survey, you know, even myself reading that survey can tell that this is incomplete, inaccurate. Like it seems like someone without a college degree education wrote it, you know, and if I can understand that and see that, everybody else can too. And, you know, you could just read one paragraph and see that, you know, it's unacceptable. And so even with the way that One Oak is conducting business right now, it's quite clear that they're incapable of building a pipeline or managing a pipeline. On top of that, they basically have no morals, you know, wanting to put in a pipeline like this that will not only destroy like life sources, it will poison the water, it will poison the land and the animals around it. And we all know that the water here in Minnesota supports thousands and thousands and thousands of life. It flows all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico, and if and any of the water in the Gulf of Mexico makes it way over to, you know, England and all that stuff, and then it flows north, you know, to our Canadian neighbors. And so, you know, even putting Line 3 in Minnesota was an immoral act. It's just like a straight up war on our water, on our livelihoods. And so really, we're just asking the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission to deny these permits. It's unacceptable to even think to allow Magellan One Oak to put this pipeline through, not just, you know, in, but also next to such a sacred spot as Pipestone.
You know, one of the things, too, that we talk about here on Native Roots Radio, and I know that you're really locked in, too, on Gina, is that, you know, we're in a drought here in Minnesota. And, you know, we are in a climate crisis. And I live a few blocks away from the river, and the river's low. The dams aren't even flowing. You know, there's and this is June, and it's hot. And I'll tell you, my sage is like 4 foot high now, and it should only be about a foot high. It's crazy.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah, you know, with all these freaking floods, wildfires, droughts, It's coming. It's here. We do still have ways to mediate that. You know, I'm always talking about hemp. You know, hemp restores nutrients to the soil. It cleans the air. You can fill your cars out of hemp, build houses out of hemp. Anything made out of plastic can be made out of hemp. You can make batteries out of hemp, roads, buildings, everything with hemp, you know. And it's just like we have, and it's not just hemp. We also have other biomaterials that we could and should be using, you know, like tea leaves and stuff like that. And, you know, it's really unfortunate that the society let the oil barons, the cotton farmers, and the wood producers to use racism to make hemp illegal just so they can fatten their pockets. Because it's just so easy to grow hemp in your backyard, refine it in your garage, and use it as fuel in your car.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, too. I don't know if you know this, Gina, because you're much younger than me, but all through the Twin Cities, there was a rail, streetcars that went everywhere. And of course, it's kind of the movie Who Framed Robert, Who Framed Roger Rabbit. That movie is based on tire companies getting rid of these streetcars. And that's what happened here in the Twin Cities. And they just, there's a main street called Grand Avenue in St. Paul, and they just pulled up all these old tracks that are still there and took them out for, you know, and they haven't been running the streetcars since the 1950s. And they went everywhere. They went to lakes. They went, you could go anywhere. We had the best, and now we have light rail, which is not very good here in the Twin Cities, but we had everything at one time, and the greed got us.
Yeah, isn't that something? Like, we have ways of doing better. We can do better. And we all know that these corporations don't care about us. You know, these fossil fuel companies make trillions of dollars in 1 year. We saw during the pandemic, they raised their prices, boasting about record-breaking sales.
Right.
And so, you know, with the Redstone movement, we're also pursuing stronger, more permanent protections for pipestone. And as we can see, Robert, like, there is one common denominator with all of this, you know, with the pipelines, with the mining, with the data centers. It really is the corporations, the society, the system that was built up against us, that was built off of genocide and slavery. You know, and that's one of the reasons that there is this continued genocide upon us Indigenous people. It's because we're proof that we can do it better, that we are able to do it better. We're also proof that the land was brutally stolen in a barbaric way. But, you know, that's just it. And, you know, I thank my ancestors a lot for making me an Anishinaabe woman, because I understand, like, I have that ancestral knowledge to know that we are capable of doing better. And that's what our prophecy said, you know, like, if the light-skinned people came bearing gifts and worked with us, we all would have prospered and we would all be thriving. But they came with weapons, and look at where we're at. People all over the world are being oppressed. There's so many dangerous, destructive projects going on, being shoved down our throats. And here we are, you know, begging in the streets to stop it, you know, like, stop the violence. You know, we just want to live as Mother Earth intended, you know, in right relationship with each other. And I'm really excited Issa's on next. I've been praying for her. I've been following her story. And, you know, as Indigenous women, we are really being attacked. And, you know, to see her take such a strong stance is really motivating and empowering and gives me hope. And so, yeah, really super excited to hear what she's got to share with us.
Yeah, I am too, to hear an update of what's going on, because it's ridiculous. If you know Issa and how good of a person she is and all the things that she's going through right now is ridiculous. And it's almost like, you know, all the years of Leonard Peltier being in prison, they're making an example of her. And that's just not right. Hey, Gina, we only got like a couple minutes left. Let people know how they can, one, support you in this action, but also know more about your organization.
Yeah, so I'm a chair board with Mukwa, it's mukwamincona.org, an indigenous organization focused on uplifting climate justice and indigenous sovereignty. It's indigenous woman-led. I really love it. It's really fun. So like I said, we are pursuing stronger protections for Pipestone. We will be pursuing state policy. One of the legislation pieces we want to enact would be protecting Pipestone, the Catlin Knight, just like the eagle feather is protected. And there's some few other things on there too that some time in the future I'd like to get on. But right now we are urging everyone to submit their comments. They can email consumer.puc@state.mn.us. And the subject would be docket number 23-109. And please just ask the PUC to deny the permits and protect Pipestone. And I keep telling everyone, you know, like, yes, they submit and show, you know, everyone who's made a comment. So if you hadn't made a comment, I'm going to know, and I'm going to be secretly judging you in my head. So if I give you a little strange look in public, you'll know why. But we're really encouraging to please submit those comments. The deadline is June 22nd. It's just quick and simple and easy. It takes about 5 minutes.
Okay, I'm on it. So now that I'm glad you gave me that information about that. Hey, thanks a lot, Gina. Come on the show anytime. You're great. I really appreciate you reaching out. And let's do this more often. Great to see you. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Thank you, Robert. Drink your water.
That's right. Oh, we'll be right back.
Support for KFAI comes from the Cedar Cultural Center, presenting the Hot 8 Brass Band Friday, June 19th. You can celebrate Juneteenth in New Orleans style when the Hot 8 Brass Band takes the Cedar stage. Known for their brass band cover reinterpretations of popular songs, plus healthy doses of funk, hip-hop, rap, and bounce in their original compositions, the Hot 8 bring New Orleans style and flair wherever they go. They're touring with their latest release, Big Tuba. More information about the Hot 8 Brass Band is available at thecedar.org.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Bobby Wilson. Wee-cha.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanja Hade. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot. And hey, I just heard from Issa, and she's at KFAI Studios thinking I was there. So I hope to have her jump on here as soon as she can, maybe through her phone. I guess our instructions weren't clear enough that we're on StreamYard. Hey, one thing I want to do, and I wonder if Misko, you can jump on here. I wanted to talk a little bit about the show that's coming on right after us locally on AM 950, and that is Chase Iron Eyes. And it was an amazing, amazing show. And you'll have the opportunity to hear that right after our show. And he is unbelievable, and we really appreciate teaming up with him. And so I was just wondering, too, if Misko, you could join us. Talk a little bit about what your feelings are and what you thought, because it was pretty amazing. We recorded it earlier today, and it'll be on right after our show. And it just was really, really, it was an amazing thing. And you're on mute right now. So, Misko, yeah. What did you think as a young person listening to Chase?
Yeah, I think I'm still learning a lot about, you know, I'm just still, I consider myself a young adult. I'm 25 and just learning a lot about what's going on through working with you, Pilot, and hearing about what all of these leaders in our community have to say. And I just want to say, listening to Chase speak about what's happening, you know, across Turtle Island and like especially like here in Minnesota, I don't know, it just makes me feel like I need to be more educated and need to be more informed. And I just highly recommend everyone to listen to it, because I felt like I learned a lot just listening to it. And Chase is a really good storyteller and a really good speaker, so I think anyone who listens would really enjoy what he has to say.
So do you feel like being a young person, it's hard to keep up with all this stuff? Because one, you're a young person and you're trying to find your way with who you are, with, you know, your own work and relationships and things like that. So do you find it hard to keep up with all this stuff? Because it's daunting. There's three or four things happening to us as a community every day.
Yeah, I think... especially growing up with social media, there's a lot of news and a lot of fake news, and it's hard to decipher, you know, what's true and what's not. And then also, like, does my, like, thoughts matter on anything? Like, do I matter? Does my voice matter? And so, again, having people like Issa, having people like Chase, having all of these great guests on the show, really make me feel like, okay, I do need to learn more about what's going on in my community and globally.
That's a really good segue, because I do believe Issa is with us right now. Let's get her aboard here. Issa, welcome to Native Roots Radio. Good to see you.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes. All yes, right. I can.
Good to see you.
Thank you. Really excited to have you on and really give us an update. A lot of our audience across Turtle Island do not know your story, and I'm wondering if you could just tell your story and then talk about where you're at with it right now. So again, I really, really appreciate you coming on.
For sure. Yeah. So, cheers, Nala Zalicela. Hi, my name is Isabella. I'm on like 20%, by the way. I don't know if I can switch over to my iPad, but really quick. I just want to say, so this around this time last year, I was the first huge ICE raid happened in Minnesota for like this under this administration on Lake in Bloomington. It happened around this time this year on June 3rd. And that day I came out with community and stuff. And that was when I was pinned on the ground by federal agents. And from there, a couple days passed away. And I went in with an interview with Georgia Fort. And there, as I was coming out of that interview, that's when I was arrested by federal agents. After that, I was taken to Sherburne County. And I was there for like 4 days, and a lot of the people from the Twin Cities came out for me. I've been organizing for like about 5 years here in Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people came out for me, really thankful for them. My danzante group, Capoli Yashnoti, came out. And that's how, honestly, I'm even being able to be here, honestly, because there was community pressure, they released me. And so for a year now, I've been kind of just waiting, because I had four charges on me. Three of them were assault on a federal officer, one of them being interference of investigation. And finally, my final court date is going to be the 23rd of this month. And, you know, they offered me a plea deal, which was, you know, just a misdemeanor, one misdemeanor. And so... yeah, that's why now I'm able to, you know, speak and talk more about it. So it's been crazy.
Well, Issa, you're about 5'4". I just want people on the radio to know that you, I'm sure you could assault somebody, but this person that you supposedly assaulted was like 6'4 or 6'2". It's just a ridiculous charge, a trumped up charge. And we talked about this earlier, that people are trying, they're trying to make an example of you.
No, exactly. And I knew, they were, because now that I kind of speak on it, that day, I remember as they were leaving, some of the federal agents like looked at me and they said, "We're going to get you. Like, we're going to come for you." And like, I guess, you know, days after that, I posted a video on it, because even before they came here to Minneapolis, I saw what was going on in California. Like, I was very much attentive to like how they were just going off on like, and like taking people all over California. And so like, I knew the same energy they showed up here. And I guess, you know, that's why I showed up the way that I did. And, yeah, I heard about other people's cases too. Chicanos like me, you know, also brown and like, you know, indigenous descent that were also having trumped up charges. And it was just like, yeah.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's